Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our Lenten series is continuing. It's called Listen to Him, and it's a book by J.D. Walt. It's a Lenten devotion book. There's 40 devotions to get you, actually 41, to get you all the way from Ash Wednesday into Lent. And last week we talked about the idea that God doesn't want us to behave, that God wants us to become more Christ-like in everything that we do, become more Christ-like as we walk with Jesus. And the author, J.D. Walt, titles today's devotion, Don't Settle. He concludes his devotion by saying, don't settle for the servants' quarters. Our God is not looking for servants, but for sons and daughters. You see, God's love for us is so deep and so strong that his intent for us is to be his beloved child. That's his goal, that's his hope, that's his prayer for each one of us, that we will find our way to him and become his beloved son or daughter. We don't have to settle for a tepid faith. We don't have to settle for a meh relationship with the God of the universe. Rather, we can aspire to be in full relationship with the God of the universe and be his adopted son or daughter. As we will see in our text today, Jesus is telling us stories about a God that doesn't settle. A God that doesn't stop with good enough. Because God does not settle for one of his children to be lost. Our text today comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Those of you that have studied the Gospel of Luke may remember that that is the chapter of lost things, things that are lost and then found. And it is the entire chapter of the 15th chapter of Luke. So I'm going to ask Leanne to come and read this because my voice is failing me today.
Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off, and he went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he got him back, safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years, I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat, so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Leanne. I'm not sure I could have read the whole chapter. So this text begins with all of the tax collectors and sinners gathered around to hear Jesus. And the righteous ones, the Pharisees, they are grumbling about the fact that Jesus is hanging around with these sinners. They're not very happy that he is so comfortable around these tax collectors and these sinners. And the outrage of outrage for them is that he even eats with them. This series of three stories starts with Jesus welcoming sinners, welcoming those that in some people's minds are less than worthy. You see, it is the nature of God to seek us out. It is what the Gospels are about. You see, God is not afraid of the mess in your life. In fact, God wants to be a part of that mess. He wants to be a part of healing that mess that might be your life. In response to this grumbling of these righteous Pharisees, Jesus then tells three stories. And I believe it are three stories that reveal to us the very nature of God, the essence of God's deep love for each one of us. The first of these three stories is the parable of the lost sheep. We last talked about this parable in October of 23. We were doing a sermon series on our staff's favorite parables, and this was Beth Johnson's favorite parable. Anybody surprised by that? That this is her favorite parable, the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus tells the story of a shepherd that recognizes he's missing one sheep, and he leaves the 99 that were in the fold or where they were supposed to be to go look for that one that had wandered off. Now, this is a story, this is something that the listeners would have been familiar with. The shepherd knew each of his sheep extremely well. The shepherd was personally responsible for the safety of each one of those sheep. Often the flocks were communal in nature, so it was like the flock of the village that this shepherd was responsible for. And so he goes out to find the one that is missing. Frankly, it is expected that he would go and look for that one missing sheep. He goes and finds it, and Jesus tells us that there is great rejoicing. And he tells the listeners that there is great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents, more so than the joy of 99 righteous people. Jesus then tells the story about the woman that had 10 coins, but one was lost. Now let me give you sort of a size scope here. This, not like losing a nickel. This was probably a drachma. It would have been like a whole day's wage. It's like you having $1,000 and you've lost a hundo. Where is that $100 bill? I can't find it. So that's what it would have been like for this woman who is missing this one coin. She lights a lamp so she can see better to find the coin. She searches diligently for it. She gets out her broom and sweeps her floor in the hope that she can maybe stir it up and move it around where she might find it. And ultimately, she finds the coin, and there is rejoicing. She calls her neighbors and her friends and said, "I lost my coin, but I have found it." And Jesus again tells the listeners about the great joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Jesus talks about this great joy that happens in heaven when one lost child comes home. Then Jesus turns to probably the most famous story in the Bible, the one that is so well known to so many of us, and that's the story of the prodigal son. The younger son wants his inheritance. He wants the material goods that he's due upon his father's death. And to everyone's amazement, the father agrees to this and gives him the money, and he leaves. He's gone. He's gone to the big city where there's lots of fun and food and festivities. And he goes and he blows through it all with fast living and having a great time. And then a famine comes to the area. He has no more money. And he has reduced himself to working for somebody else and feeding the pigs. Things are so bad for him, he is thinking that the pig's food looks yummy. He'd like to eat what the pigs are eating. Now, if you remember anything about what it means to be a Jew at that time, that's a horrible thought. I mean, just even feeding the pigs is a horrible and embarrassing thing for a Jewish man in the first century. They were thought to be horribly unclean, and pigs don't smell very good even today. And he was envious of the food that the pigs were eating. And I love, Scripture says, when he came to himself, as if this previous person that had taken this inheritance and gone and spent it and blew it was not really his real self. And when he came to himself, he recognized that even his father's servants had plenty to eat. And so he decides he's going to go home and just tell his father, look, just take me in as a servant. I know what I've done is horrible. Let me just work for you that I might not be hungry. And don't miss this. This is an important point. His father saw him when he was far off. And he was so filled with joy that he ran to him. So delighted at the return of his son, he immediately threw a party. He was so excited that his son, who had been dead to him, had come home, had come back to life. His son that he thought was lost to him forever has been found. But the story also tells the story of another son, one who had stayed, one who was faithful, who did not run off. And because his father is having a party at the return of the ne'er-do-well brother of his, he's angry. He's like, Dad, this isn't fair. I have been with you the whole time. I have been faithful. I have not disrespected you, and you have given me nothing. And the father hears his son, and he says to him, but my son, you are always with me. Everything that I have is yours. You see, this son, he didn't understand the heart of his father. He didn't understand the joy that came from the lost one coming home. I think it's important that we look at how each one of these things got lost. The sheep, it probably just wandered off, right? It's probably grazing and go, oh, look, there's some green grass. Oh, there's some more green grass. Oh, there's some more green grass. And there's some more. And suddenly he looks up and he is no longer with the flock. And he is lost. I'm sure that none of us have found ourselves wandering off for greener pastures or other things that distract us. And then the coin was just missing. We don't know really what happened to it. But we know that it didn't grow legs and walk off. Somehow it was missing. Perhaps through the randomness of life, maybe she had a dog that knocked it off the table and it got buried in the straw that they used to put on their floors. It doesn't matter why we get lost. God will come looking for us. And then there is the son. The son who is willfully disobedient to his father. Not only is he disobedient, he is disrespectful. I mean, this is sort of like the deepest insult that you could pay your father. He turns his back and willfully goes away to live a life that his father does not approve of. These stories, they make it clear that God is searching diligently, relentlessly for you. God wants you to come home to be his beloved son or his beloved daughter. In the story of the prodigal son, it is no accident that the father sees his son from a long way off. Scripture doesn't tell us this, but I can imagine this distressed father going to some point at his place where he can see a long way every single day, waiting to see if he can see his son. And when he does, he forgets the disrespect that his son has shown him, and he runs to meet him. Even when the son professes, "I am unworthy, let me be a servant," he doesn't even hear it. He tells his servant, "Get a robe, bring the ring, kill the fatted calf, we are going to celebrate." He is home. The father was looking for the son every single day. What this text tells us, it doesn't matter why we got lost. It doesn't matter if it was an act of willful disobedience or we just wandered off or some random event happened in our life and we became disconnected. This text makes it clear that God is searching for every single one of us. It doesn't matter why you left. Doesn't matter why you were lost. Perhaps you identify with the faithful son. Take note. The father stepped out of the party and pleaded to this son, "Please come and join this party. Because your brother is home." You see, what the faithful son didn't understand was he didn't understand the heart of his father and the joy that came from those that are lost being found. The faithful son did not understand the heart of his father. The heart of his father for the lost. God doesn't settle. God doesn't settle for one of the 99. God doesn't settle for a coin even to be lost. God doesn't settle for a willfully disobedient child to be gone forever. He stands ready to welcome you, to celebrate your return. We don't have to settle. We don't have to settle for feeling shame for our sin because we are forgiven. Everything that Jesus did is for us. We don't have to settle for a religion without a relationship with the God of the universe. We don't have to settle for a distant relationship with God. Don't settle for the servant's quarters. God holds you as a beloved son or daughter. And he stands ready, searching for you, looking for you, waiting for you to return home. And if we are the faithful son, if we are the ones that have never wandered off, that have never really ever left, Your heart should be celebrating the ones that do come home. That is our role as the faithful son, right? That is our role to help God find the ones who are lost. Let us celebrate the life of one repentant sinner that has come home. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we are so grateful for your love, for the fact that you don't settle for us being lost, that you are looking for us, that you are searching for us always. Father, those who have lost their way, help them find their way to you. Let us be a key to their finding their way to you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.